become a believer, we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And heaven isn't something we have to wait for till we die, but we can experience the benefits of heaven today. I think that's pretty incredible. It's pretty amazing. And I think it's very sad and very unfortunate that, once again, this is something that far too many people, far too many believers miss out on. And then we talked about our BS, our belief system. I like to say it because it gets a rise out of people. And we talked about our belief system. And we talked about how, you know, we need to realign our belief system. It's not just what we were told in Sunday school when we were 2 or 3 or 4 and we were singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." But there is so much more that we can experience when we come into alignment with a biblical belief system. And then we talked about our new covenant identity. And we talked about how when we accept Jesus, as we believe on Jesus, we get this new identity. And it's only something that we can experience as a new covenant believer who actually walks in the things of a new covenant believer. And as we take on this new covenant understanding, we identify as a prophet, as a king, as a judge, and as a priest. And we have all of these things within us as we move forward when we believe on Jesus and when we live according to this new covenant that he has given us. And then last week, of course, is Mother's Day, so we talked about love. It seemed to fit. I think it fit well. If you don't agree, too bad. I choose the mess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing everyone. But I talked to you last week about how far too many people, far too many believers have the yeah buts. And they're believing in their yeah but. Jesus loves me, yeah but. Jesus says this is word, yeah but. And we need to take the yeah buts in our heads and crinkle them up and throw them out. They make good fire starter, those yeah buts, and you crinkle them up and you throw them in the fire. We don't need to be the yeah buts. We need to know that he loves us, and that's a period. There's no yeah but behind there. All of his promises in his word are ours. There's no yeah but behind there. But we need to accept that, and we need to walk in that. And this week we're going to talk about this idea of here is Jesus. And I think almost every one of my series that I've preached, probably in the past 8 months to a year, I always have a Jesus service, a Jesus talk in there. And I think it's because a lot of us have this mixed up view of this judgmental Jesus. Maybe it's a view of a Jesus that has the yeah but in there. And I think it's something important for us as believers to remember and non-believers to learn and know about who is Jesus really. See, a lot of people, I think, when they study the Word, when they study the Bible, they're all looking for formulas. So what do I mean by that? Well, if I could just do these 3 steps to being a powerful believer, or if I could do these 7 steps to be an awesome wife, or maybe it's a 12-step for the wife. And for husbands, just kidding, Terry. For husbands, it's the 1 step to being an amazing husband, because we don't have as much stuff to work through, right? I'm going to have some stuff to work through later. But we're all looking, or most people are looking for these step programs, you know. You see online the 7 steps to drop 12 pounds. You see the 6 steps to sleep better. And there's all these steps. And we've brought that mixed up idea into the church. If I could just find these steps in the Bible, if I could just find these steps in the Word, if I could find the hints, and then I'd start seeing results in my faith life. Then I would know him better. Then I would have a better marriage. Then I'd have better relationships in the church, and I wouldn't drive everybody crazy. And there isn't anything wrong with that. But if you move too far in that direction, you treat your life with God, with Jesus, as a formula. And it's not a formula. You treat it like some kind of book. The Bible is some kind of book that has to be read and obeyed. And you miss the relationship that is there for us each and every day. See, when Jesus walked on the planet, he would teach the Word of God to people, and he would always talk about things like the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is near. And we talked about this when we talked about the kingdom. And he would pray with people, and when they got a miracle, most of the time Jesus would say in the Bible, "Go, your faith has made you well," or "Your faith has made you whole." And a lot of biblical scholars kind of agree, they don't know, but they agree that is probably something that Jesus said quite often after a miracle. Even though they weren't yet born or weren't born again yet, they weren't born of the Spirit with this new spirit. Their spirit man was still dead on the inside. No life from Christ because he hadn't died yet. They hadn't experienced this. But the miraculous would come into their life. So often we pattern ourselves after the things that went on and how Jesus did them. And that's great. Yes, that is fantastic. But we have to remember that today with the life that you and I have, that Jesus is within us, right? We need to remember that Jesus is within us. And if you want to know the best place to look to get an understanding of how we walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus, there's an old song, "He walks with me and he talks with me," right? And this is something that I think was so important for so many people, but we haven't figured out how to communicate with him, how to walk with him, how to talk with him in an effective way. And I think to do that, we need to look at the book of Acts. And these are the men that Jesus trained, that he equipped to go out. Jesus taught these guys how to do it. It's not like just Joe Schmoes out there, yeah, this is what you should do, and this is what you should do. No, Jesus is out there actually teaching them, and everything in the Gospels isn't everything that was said or done. We need to understand that. We need to understand that it's more than just the Gospels. Those were the precursor. That was the basic training that these guys got. And Acts and the other books were these guys living out what Jesus taught them. This is an important piece that we need to understand. The men that Jesus trained, that he equipped, are going out in the world using the knowledge and wisdom that was taught to them. The stuff that Jesus gave them is what people miss out on most. And one of the prime examples is Acts 3 and 4, there's this miracle. And we talked about this miracle not too long ago. Oh dear, what did I do? We talked about this miracle. I'm trying to get my scripture up. And I locked my computer. Hang on. Acts 3, 1 to 8. And we read this. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is about 3:00. And a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms from those entering the temple. But Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." Let's pause there for a second. And I talked about this before, but he was just kind of like, "Oh, give me money, give me money." And they said, "Give me your attention. Look at us. We have something for you." And the man began to pay attention to them, it says, and eagerly expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give to you in the name," so in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, "begin now to walk and go on walking." And then they seized his hand, they reached out, grabbed him with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once to his feet and ankles became strong and steady. And with a leap, he stood up and began to walk, and he went about the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I yelled that because that's exciting. See, when Peter walks by a gate and there's this crippled man who asks him for money, and Peter says, "I don't have any on me, but I have something better for you." And this is a different way to minister to somebody than what's been done before, than what we've read about before in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't find those words in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, "What I have, I give to you." Before Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, they would talk about kingdom being near, and they opened up and believed their faith would reckon them to righteousness and the presence of God would touch them. But now we have Peter, and he says, "Here, what I have, I'm going to give to you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus." And he reached out and he grabbed the man and he ripped him up to his feet. Could you imagine? Can you picture this in his head? You picture this? Go on, come here. I didn't tell you about this. Come here. Like, I want you guys, this is important, lay down on the ground for me. Just lay on the ground. Lay on the ground. Now reach up and give me your hand. Like, it's a jerk. Like, this is something happening, people. And this is something, you go sit. Thanks, buddy. This is something we can experience in our life of somebody saying, I don't got this for you, but what I have, I'm going to give you. Come on, man. Now I sound like Joe Biden. Come on, man. Those of you that follow me know that I like to make fun. Boy, I lost now. But this is something so critical. And the man jumps up like Cohen jumped up. And he jumps and he leaps. And there's a word later on in the community is asking him what happened. And he talks about faith. And he's honing in and zeroing in on something that has never before been talked about on how faith works. And he says, this faith is in the name of Jesus. In Acts 3:16, we read that. It says, and on the basis of faith in his name, in who he is, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health and complete wholeness in your presence. So other times the Bible alludes to this faith that rises up in you and that is in Christ's faith that is within us. And I've heard people, so many people, say things like, I just don't have the faith. And then they talk about how much faith they have. And I'm going to say this, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but I don't think it has anything to do with the quality or how much, or the quantity or how much faith we have. It has to do with what you believe. What do you believe? And I want to be clear on this, because the two go hand in hand, the quantity and what you believe, yes. But you can have all sorts of faith, but if you're believing in the wrong things, if your faith is on that fact that he's not going to heal me and this is just how I'm going to be, I'm just going to suffer. If that's what you're putting your faith in, you've got all sorts of faith, but you've got your faith in the wrong belief system. You got to change your BS, your belief system, to something better. You got to change your belief system to what the Bible says. It's how you believe, or it's what you believe, not necessarily how much you believe. And here is where people do not push in and understand the life of Jesus is in you. From the book of Acts, it is completely different in the areas of prayer and ministry than the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And way different than the Old Covenant books. This is never before done. This is what has been prophesied by the old covenant, sorry, not old people. I want to be clear. Because the people that were even older were grabbing onto this idea in the new covenant. This mystery from Colossians 1:27, where Paul says that the mystery is Christ within you. And then he goes on to say that this power works within me mightily. He is working mightily, but by his power that is within him. And today, in the midst of emergencies or things that happen, people begin to opt out of understanding this new life that we have. And you hear prayers like things, maybe you've heard prayers, maybe you said prayers like, Father, just heal me. Just heal me, Father. Anybody ever pray those prayers or hear those prayers? I don't want to see hands. It's rhetorical. Or maybe we hear things like, I'm just waiting on God to do something. I'm just going to sit here and wait. And they're showing based on this that they just don't understand God. They don't understand and they don't believe right. See, that's not how we pray today, is it? Oh, God, just heal me. What? Is that how we pray? That's not how we pray. See, we're not requesting as in begging God to make a decision on our healing, are we? No, we're not. Everything about the cross and on makes Jesus so special is that he died on the cross for you and for me. He took your sins at the cross when he died, rose again, ascended to the throne. He took your sins, your punishment, your curse, your sickness. He's already taken it. He's already given you full healing and full life, but it's up to you to choose what to do with it. He took your sin, that punishment, and he rose again, and in his resurrection, he gives you this new life that you can choose. And when you choose Jesus, he ignites your human spirit and it becomes alive in you. Doesn't it? If it doesn't, boy, we've got some stuff to talk about. See, his peace, his joy, his direction, his life, his faith even, everything about Jesus is within you, within us. So when God directs you towards something and you say something like, I don't know if I have the faith to do it. Yeah, you probably don't. And if you're talking about some kind of faith that makes it all happen, because it's not you that makes it happen, it is Jesus and believing on him and believing the right things as according to Scripture. Until you get that, until you treat Jesus as this revelation, this relationship, and you treat his word as something you need to get into, you will always be a Christian trying. Until you fully grasp what his word says, until you understand his promises, until you know that his promises are for you, until you know his healing is for you, until you know his joy is for you, until you know every blessing in his word is for you as a believer, you're always going to be a Christian trying. What the heck do you mean, Dave, a Christian trying? See, too many Christians are like this. Too many Christians are Christians trying to get healed, trying to rise up, trying to be a good parent, trying to be a good husband or wife or spouse. I guess spouse would have been shorter. Trying to get miracles, trying to see financial breakthrough, trying to see this, trying to see that, whatever it is you're trying to do. And in that trying, there is some doubt that rises up. And in this, we don't need more faith. We have it twisted in our head. I need more passion. I need more excitement. I need more excellence. I need more belief. I need more this. And we see this faith is a graph going up. You've seen the inflation and the whatever else they show with the chart going up. And I don't think that is what the Word of God is bringing out. The Word of God, the Bible brings out, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? What does the Word say about Jesus and what he promises? And what does the Word say about you and what is a promise? See, it's not about you trying. We got to stop being Christians trying. What do you know about Jesus? Which is why he sets you free. Do you understand the cross? Do you understand Jesus? The Bible says that he is the bread of life. What does that mean? When you partake of Jesus, you get energy, you get sustenance, you get strength, you become alive, it flows in you. And in his word, Jesus talks about him being the Logos, the Word of God. And yet we treat the Bible like it's just another book. Too many people look at things like New Age techniques and New Age systems, and we really need to look at Jesus, because Jesus is the way to set people free. The Bible is clear that the reason the people of Israel did not walk into the promised land was because of their unbelief. So how do you deal with the things that you don't know? When people ask, why didn't Jesus heal me? Or why didn't Jesus heal this person? Or why is this person sick? Or why did this person die? The answer is not always fun, but the answer is because you don't understand the truth about healing. Because you don't walk in biblical truth of healing. And the question shows us that is the answer. That the very fact that you asked that question, the question isn't why didn't he? Because he did. He already healed us. The healing is there. The healing is given. It was given because by his stripes we are healed. Isn't it that what the word says? The healing is there. He deposited inside each and every one of us. Each and every need we have, it is there. And he has given you all things that pertain to your life to live godly and to walk in blessings, hasn't he? And the power of Jesus in your life, it is all found in him. But too many of us are looking for this formula. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. We need to do more than try. We need to enter in. We need to push in. We need to step in. Last week we sang that song, This Is a Move. That's saying, God's still doing stuff. God's working, God's healing, God's raising the dead. But it's up to us to decide, are we going to step forward? Or are we just going to sit back and whine and mope and complain? What are we doing? I'm sorry if I'm yelling. Man, this is pretty important stuff. My feet hurt from stomping. It's not a formula. When we want to experience the citizenship of heaven here on earth, we need to do more than try. We need to be a people who do more than wonder, will it happen? Will I be healed? We should be people who do not wonder. We declare. We don't hope and pray. We declare. We declare what's going to go on in our life because it's according to God's will in my life. And we know what his will is. We can't pray that prayer of, oh God, if it's your will, because that's just a weakling prayer. We declare his will because we know what his will is. And his will is that we will live well. His will is that we will succeed in faith. His will is that we will walk in health. His will is that we will walk in blessings. His will is that we will represent Christ in our community, in our home, in our nation. And not just be a weakling church. That we will bring glory to God in all things that we touch. To live with a peace and a joy that the world does not know. I'll tell you something, guys. Last night I stayed up till 11:30. Maybe 12. It was pretty late for me. I know. Sometimes I stay up late. Sometimes I'm wild that way. But it was interesting because I haven't done this really for months or weeks. But I sat there and I watched my dad's funeral service last night because I was lonely. I was missing him. And not that I'm like, oh, he's gone. I'm celebrating that he's with Jesus now. But I miss his voice. You know what I mean? I miss talking to him. Those are things I miss. And I spent time watching his service last night because I wanted to be reminded of stuff that he did. I wanted to be reminded of who my dad was. I wanted to be reminded that he gave Jesus where he went. And that was a good reminder because it helped me celebrate even again last night. And I was able to sleep well. But for whatever reason last night, he usually called me on Saturday nights and Friday nights. So it was a rough night last night. But that's okay. Because I don't have to live a life of despair because I know where he is. He's with Jesus. And I don't even know why I brought that up, but I guess the thing is there could be heartache going around in your life, but we need to be focused on Christ. And that is when the miraculous of walking on water, speaking to mountains, walking through things rather than being the victim on this planet. That's what happens when we take our eyes off of Christ. We start being the victim. We are not victims, we're victors, aren't we? There's victory in Jesus. I'm sorry, Nora, if I'm not clear on my slides. I didn't really do this right. But there is life in Jesus. There's something about Jesus that we can live with confidence and know that he is going to be there all the time. He just isn't there when we call on him, but he is there always within us. And he is helping us succeed and to rise up to be the husband and dad that I want to be the wife and mother that you want to be, to be the student, the business owner that you want to be. The Bible says, in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in Colossians 2:3, In who? In Jesus, in God, are all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you think God didn't know that we were going to figure out mankind, people kind, whatever you want to call it kind, was going to learn to design airplanes and fly? Do you think God didn't know that? Do you think God didn't know we were going to have satellites and internet and Starlink supernova wave thing? I don't know. You don't think God knew that we were going to do that? Do you think that Einstein had a drop, or whoever you think the smartest man in the world was or is, had a drop of wisdom on God with any science, with any spirituality or anything like that? Not a chance. Not a chance. See, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There's liberty or freedom to walk in health. That's where the Spirit of the Lord is there, that is what you can do. When the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty to be wise. There is liberty to rise up and make godly good decisions. There's liberty to get up and live like you've never lived before. It's where the presence of the God is. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or are we going to keep sitting here saying, Dave, would you just give me 4 points to healing? Dave, would you just give me 3 points to joy? 5 points to better life? 5 points to being a better wife? 5 points to being a better husband? See, I raised it, Terry. 12 points to a better marriage, whatever it is. And there's great stuff in God's word about all of that. But if you don't treasure Jesus, then your faith is just transactional. What sort of deal can Jesus and I do today? Jesus, can you keep me safe today? Let's roll the dice. I don't know if that's how you would roll the dice, or if you'd, however you want to roll the dice. But it's not like that at all, is it? As a believer, it should not be like that at all. Aren't you glad for the promises of Jesus? Aren't you glad that the promises of Jesus are always yes and amen in Him? Because I am. I'm so glad that I can look to my future with confidence and know that God is with me and He is for me. And as we walk through the valleys, I know that He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They can't touch me. None of it affects me because I am with Jesus. The hem was almost a Newfoundlander hem. I am with Jesus. Jesus didn't come to earth to give us another religion, to give us another code of conduct, to give us a bunch of rules. He came to give us a relationship with Him. He came to give us the freedom and liberty we just talked about. That's why Jesus came. And I think almost worse than the sin we do is the self-righteous thing that we do to earn God's grace. All these Christians and non-Christians are out there judging, but we need to remember that we have Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by His thoughts and purposes." So to have the mind of Christ, to have His thoughts, His feelings, His purposes, life is short, and our purpose is to bring glory to Jesus, isn't it? Our purpose is to know Him with all the promises that have been given to us. And it can be so exciting, can't it? To look at what promises you need today and you can just walk in them. It's not a transaction. Well, God, I was good today. I was good last night. I slept. I went to bed at 9 o'clock and I had good dreams, nothing crazy, no weird dreams. I wasn't going to parties in my dreams. It was a good dream, God. So can I have this, this, and this today, God? But that's not transactional. Like, His promises are ours. They're yes and amen. And we can walk in them each and every day, whatever we need. And sometimes some of us just need to get to know Jesus. Get to know Him, fellowship with Him, look at His word and see what He has done and what He tells us is for us. And anytime you feel low or empty or looking for purpose, your mind is set on things of the flesh and not of things of the Spirit. So we need to shift our mind back to the things of the Spirit. We can't let that emptiness, that flesh thinking, we can't be skin suit people all the time. We need to focus on Him. We need to focus on Him. We need to lift our head and get back into His Word. If that's where we're at, we need to get back into His Word and understand and find out who you are in Christ. And recognize what He has done from the cross, from His death, His burial, His resurrection with new life, His ascension to the right hand of the Father. All the authority, all the power in Jesus is in you. It's in me. And we need to think of the Old Testament prophets and so many people and so many pastors and so many churches like to talk about these Old Testament prophets, Old Testament kings, Old Testament high priests. And they put them on a pedestal for you. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, those guys have nothing on what you have living inside of you today because of the new covenant, because of the work of Jesus on the cross. None of them knew Christ like we know Christ. And we are just, we are not just transactional. We know Him. And it's no longer about I'm working through this healing, I'm working through my marriage, I'm working through this prosperity. Great. But maybe start with seek first the kingdom that Jesus has already provided. Why would we do that? Because when we seek first the kingdom of God, all those other things that we are worried about fall into place and start happening. All of these things have been given to us through the kingdom, through His work on the cross. John 15, 5 to 8, we read this. I am the vine and you are the branches. If any remain and abide in me and I remain with and abide in them, they produce much fruit. Not periodical fruit, not once in a while fruit, not seasonal fruit, much fruit. But without and apart from me, they can do nothing. As Christians, we move away from Jesus and just treat the Bible as simple, wise steps like the world does. And then we suffer and we die. So if we keep reading, it says, and if any do not remain and abide in me, they are like a branch that is thrown away and then dies because it dries up. People pick it up and gather together dead branches, throw them into fire and burn them. If you remain and abide in me and follow my teachings, my words abide and remain in you. And you can ask anything you want. Anything you want. Not some things. Not let's pick and choose today. But when you abide in Him, you can ask anything you want and it will be given to and done for and come to you. You should produce much fruit and show that you are becoming my followers, my disciples, which brings glory and glorifies my Father. Then in Deuteronomy 30, 19, we read this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and the seed and your seed may live. We have a choice to just look at the Bible as a book where we can find answers, or we can read it and get to know Jesus and what He has done, what He has said, what He has taught, and what He has told us to do. The choice is ours. When you get full of fear and worry, or the world pushes on you, you know that you have taken your eyes off of Jesus. We need to get our eyes focused clearly on Jesus, who provides all that you need. For me, I know that I'm looking at the Dave who cannot do anything apart from Jesus. I pray that you're the same, not looking at Dave, but looking at yourselves. Because we can't do anything apart from Jesus. And it's a quick trip when we take our eyes off of Jesus and start thinking, I got this, I can do this. It's a quick trip to a bad day or a bad afternoon or a bad morning, isn't it? We need Jesus. He provides all of our needs. He provides it. And too often we're praying and we're pleading for healing or help with relationships or finances, and maybe you've been in this boat and you've prayed for one of these things. And these prayers are basically useless because all that you're sitting there doing is asking for something that's been given to you already. It's the analogy I asked last week, a while ago about the car. It was in December, right? November? About Lyle's giving me this Corvette, and I asked if I could take it out, but he's already given it to me. He's given me the keys. It's sitting in my Quonset. And he's like, yeah, for sure. It's yours. Take it. Let's go. And then the next week, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's a beautiful day like today, and I call him up and say, hey, Lyle, can I bring the Corvette to church today? Like, it'd be really fun, and it'd be good to do. And yeah, it's yours. Like, I've given it to you. You've got the keys. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. A couple days later, I want to drive into Saskatoon to take the kids. Lyle, you know, I know it's a few more kilometers than driving into Rosetown, but can I take the car into Saskatoon and take Nora to soccer practice? Like, I think it'd be super cool. It'd be fun. We could blast some tunes, like, whatever. Yeah, it's yours. See? It's mine. It's been given to me already. I don't have to ask for it. It's been given. I just need to take it. Every promise that Jesus died for and qualified you for is yours. It's yours already. It's not something you have to wait and beg for. It's yours. You're just saying when you're sitting there begging and pleading, you're really just being selfish because you're doing it for you. Jesus, heal my knee. Dave, why are you asking for this? I've already healed your knee when I was crucified. Like, this is crazy, Dave. Why are you doing this? Your knee's good. It's healed. Walk in the healing. I was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of the Father for your knee, Dave. It's healed. And we need to start praying differently. Our prayer shouldn't be like, oh, God, please. But let's start praying and beginning to look at his promises. We need to pray with that end in mind and thank him and declare what his word already says. Because the Bible's very clear that we don't pray from a position of have not, but we pray from that position of have. We pray from the position of it's mine. I own that healing. It's mine. And if something is pushing on that area of life, just start thanking God for the work that Jesus did on the cross because of health and healing are mine. The victory is mine through that cross. I own and possess them because they were freely given to me because of Jesus. So thank you that the favor of God is upon me and everything works out for my good because Jesus is within me. And I can put my trust in him, and I'm thankful that this is going to work out for my good because that is the promise of the word. We need to be praying in thankfulness. And the Bible says that we should know Jesus. We should know the word and daily overflow in thankfulness. Prayer is not from, oh no. Prayer is from, I am in Christ. Because I am in Christ. Who the heck does sickness think it is? Because I'm in Christ, who the heck does that loser Lucifer think that he is? Because I'm in Christ, who does poverty think it has any rights over me and my family? Because I'm in Christ, all of the promises of the word are yes and amen. So I don't get up begging because that brings doubt and that brings unbelief into your life, and that's not what we need. That's like going home and finding someone there in your house, in your kitchen, rummaging around and saying, could you please go? Could you please go? Well, maybe it's not me, but maybe I'm like, I'm going and I'm grabbing that guy and saying, get the heck out of my house and throwing him out the front door. Maybe throw through a window and maybe booting him. You got no rights here, buddy. And if I'm not, for whatever reason, strong enough, maybe he's Andre the Giant, if you know who Andre the Giant is, like 7 feet, big man, and maybe I'm not quite strong enough, you know what I'm doing? I'm picking up my phone, I'm calling the Popo, and I'm saying, hey, I got a guy here, I need some help. Did I just say Popo on Facebook? Yes, I did. I can't get him out. And when they show up, we're fighting together getting this guy out of my house because he has no right there. He has no rights over me or my house. And if you struggle with faith, if you struggle with something, recognize that in the midst of that struggle, that prayer, that you pray to find the promise of the New Testament first as to who Jesus is and as to what he has already done for you. Amen? I'm going to invite Mary up to come play for us while I close. So if the enemy tries to get in your head and tell you that you did this or you haven't been good enough and that's why this is happening to you or this is going on and that's why this is happening, you must rise up and declare who Jesus is and what he has already done. He went to the cross for you. He took the curse from you. He took every sin, past and present and future. And you walk in the favor of God. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been stripped of his power and authority. I'm not worrying about him, and I choose life. If you choose nothing, you are still going down the river. So you better choose life, because choosing nothing is like choosing death. Choose life. So thankfully, pray God's word. Know what he has done for you and whose you are. This confidence will rise up on the inside. Stop bawling and crying and begging and pleading. Oh, God. It's been done for you. It's been given to you. Know who you are. Stop praying Old Testament prayers, seeking for God's mercy. When Jesus already went to the cross and he has given us all mercy necessary for us. Everything's prepared for you and the life that you have and the victory you can walk in. He said every promise has been qualified for us, hasn't he? In his word? So why are we still praying from this position of defeat? Well, Dave, I'm sick. Well, Dave, my knee still clicks when I step. I don't know. I don't care what the doctor said or if you're sneezing or coughing. Even then, when you are praying and the symptoms are trying to tell you you are sick, you still don't beg God to heal you. You get up from the position of who you are and what he has done for you, and you begin to praise him and thank him for the healing and wholeness he has already given you. The new covenant is a covenant of rest. It says a labor to enter the rest. This labor is not a begging and pleading. The labor is a fight to stand Christ, to stand faith, to recognize whose you are, what you can do, and what's been done for you. That's the labor that we need to be doing, recognizing what is done for us. And to begin to worship him and declare and say, thank you, Jesus, that health is mine. Thank you, Jesus, that prosperity is mine. Thank you, Jesus, that wholeness is mine. Thank you, Jesus, that I walk in renewed relationship. Thank you, Jesus, for restored relationship. Whatever you're walking through, you're thanking him. In our house, I'm not always great at this part, but Stacy and Ella are really good. And they're really good at positioning themselves from the position of victory, that it's already been done. And sometimes I forget, and I need to smack in the head from Stacy or Ella. Because everything good that happens to us is not luck. It's the favor of God. It's the goodness of God. God's blessings upon us. This is where the power lies. Not the begging, not the bawling, not the pleading. When we do that, we start giving the enemy credit. Every time something negative happens, and we've talked about this before, people say, oh boy, the devil is on your case. No, life's just like that sometimes. Sometimes I make a mistake. Well, you had 3 car accidents. Yeah, I better take some defensive driving classes. I don't know. Maybe I need to slow down and stop speeding. Right, John? But too many of us believers, we get caught up on the devil. And they just power him up. Like, come on, guys. That fallen angel doesn't have anything over you. Stop listening to him. Stop allowing him into your life. Stop giving him power. Stop giving him credit. He doesn't have that power. Jesus, he helps us rise up with joy. He helps us, gives us life. He gives us abundant life, doesn't he? Last week we talked about how he gives super abundantly. We need to start changing our prayer. We need to start changing our focus. We need to get to know the real Jesus. We need to walk in his power. We need to live with the authority that he has given us. That's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus who called us into so much more than just being a Christian who tries. We are so much more than that. If you're listening to the service and maybe the Holy Spirit has stirred you and sparked you and said, yeah, you know what? I'm tired of fighting through life. I'm tired of not knowing. I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about, the Jesus that you're telling me gives life. I'm going to invite you to accept Jesus right now as your personal Lord and Savior. And for those of us that are believers, we're going to take a moment in a couple seconds here, or a couple minutes, to pray for us as well. But we're just going to give anybody who's watching online or watching in person an opportunity to accept Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to accept Jesus, we're going to start with a simple prayer, and then we're going to talk about so much more after that. So if you don't know Jesus, just repeat after me. And if you know Jesus, please, guys, just like normal, let's just repeat after me so that others feel comfortable. Would you repeat? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to take every punishment and curse. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Today on, I'm following after you. I'm chasing after you. And I'm living a life of victory. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that's you and you prayed that prayer for the first time, call me at the church, 306-882-2453. Email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca. Grab me on the door on your way out. Message me on Facebook or YouTube, whatever you need. I want to connect with you. Now, for those of you that maybe have been struggling through this, I just want you to pray with me as we close in prayer, and just pray with me as we walk through this together. And I want you to start thinking and changing your perspective of how you live your life. I want us to start changing our perspective from that of trying to the one of doing and living in his blessings that he has given us, to one of life and prosperity and blessings and health and wholeness. So if you're watching here in person or watching online again, just please, just agree with me in prayer if that's you. And then we're going to close in prayer. So Father, today we thank you. God, we thank you that the Jesus who came to this planet came to give us a life even before we get to heaven. God, I thank you. And I thank you for changing hearts, for changing direction, for changing our decisions, God. God, I pray that we change our attitude and we walk in the confidence and the joy and the blessings that you have already given us, God. Father, I pray that we will see that Jesus has done it all. He has paid the price. We are free. And Father, I pray that you would remind us of that we would walk in that freedom. God, I pray that our perspective will change and that we gain an understanding that it is done and we have victory, God. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be changed, that we will turn from our old ways of thought and living and move to this new way that you've called us to live. God, today as we gain revelation, Father, I pray that we would step forward with such gusto and passion, Father, that we would move in and press in, Father, to all the good things that you have for us. God, that we would be an example to the people of Rosetown, Father, that people would want to know what is going on with those crazy people across from the water tower, Father, that they would want to know the passion that we live with, that we would know the boldness that we live with, Father, that we would have opportunities to share about you and your goodness, God. Father, we thank you for those that are watching, wherever they might be watching, Father, that they would be an example in their communities, in their cities, in their towns, God, in their houses. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you have given us. Thank you for the promises that you've given us. Thank you for the victory that we have. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that as we leave this week, that we would leave and we would leave renewed, that we would leave refocused, and we would leave victorious. And because we'd be walking in that victory that you've already given us on that cross. Father, we thank you for opportunities. God, we thank you for blessings. And we thank you for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless and have a great week. Oh, my smile was getting really tired there. I'm going to invite the music team up, and we're going to sing a couple songs, and the altars are open if you need prayer.